welcome. This is the Words, Women, and Wisdom show, providing inspiring stories of women who have risen from some sort of tragedy to triumph, sharing stories that help you see how, even if you are not feeling elevated just yet, you can be. And the women I interview have already been there and done it, showcasing some beautiful, inspiring stories and also sharing some wisdom. I'm your host, Yvonne E.L. Silver, best-selling author of Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, executive coach with Flourish, and also a speaker and consultant, HR consultant as well. So I'm delighted to bring to you today a special guest, a really great friend of mine here in Calgary as well. We're both settled in Calgary at the base of the Rocky Mountains in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And it's lovely to be able to leverage today some of my own experiences intermingled with my speaker's experiences. As many of you know, I'm a certified emotional intelligence consultant working with EQI, as well as working with a variety of other coaching tools. But I love emotional intelligence because it really is about communication and nicely connects with my focus, which is helping women to have more confident conversations, to have more powerful language and language approaches and techniques to really ask for what you want and to get it. So welcome to my guest today, Brenda Jacobson, who is the founder of EQU. And EQU is really interesting. I'm going to let Brenda share a little bit more about it in just a moment, because it really does help combine brain science, gamification, and emotional intelligence. So it's about connecting and empowering people. Brenda has a really interesting background and a really interesting story to share. And it's been interesting switching from the left brain of a CFO, she's a CMA, CPA by training, to more of a right-brained focus and working with brain science, neuroscience, and working to help people optimize their potential. So Brenda, welcome. So lovely you could join us.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Yes. So I'm curious to learn a little bit more before we get into the UEQ and the brain science about you and your story, because, you know, when you and I talked before Christmas, you had just had some really interesting experiences down in the States, and I know that there is more in your story, and I'm curious to find out more about how you moved from working in the arena of finance, what happened to trigger and spark you moving into a more soft skill set and working with emotional intelligence. It's quite a switch. So what's the story here?
What's the story? Well, even as a CFO, I was focused on my people. I was the type of CFO that realized I couldn't meet any of my targets or my goals without every member of my team playing at the top of their game. So I would be telling my other executives, don't focus on the numbers, focus on the people. People drive the numbers, and back 20 years ago, they didn't really get that. Fortunately, it's a lot more understood today. So I've been passionate about this for over 20 years, and I just kept burning out as a CFO. It just wasn't the right position for me. I kept burning out, but I kept going back in, and then I actually, in 2009, I fell down a mountain. I literally fell down a mountain. I covered over 3,000 feet of elevation. And that kind of took me out of everything. It took me about 5 years to recover from that and to be fully back. And when I came back, I just could not go back into finance or CFO. I had to look for a better way to move forward. And it was obviously going to be my passion around people and developing whole, productive, empowered people. And that kind of led me down this path.
Well, I love the fact that you were ahead of the game, thinking about the importance of people versus profit. I mean, obviously, we have to make a profit as an organization to be sustainable. And yet, without people, it really does make a massive difference to how we are able to retain our customers, to provide great service, to secure wonderful referrals, which keep our marketing costs down. And I know from the work that I've done over the years in talent management that hiring the right person at the beginning saves so much heartache and headaches later on, and actually saves the organization a ton of money. There's such a huge cost associated with turnover. So great foresight that you had. And again, I mean, people don't get excited necessarily about, you know, bringing a paycheck home. And yet when they are working in an organization which has purpose, which shows passion for the work that's being done and the outcome, how they're supporting the clients. Oh, and by the way, I love social enterprise. So if there's a way to give back in all of that too, it just makes the whole circle of business so much more of a win-win cycle. So what was the first inkling that you had that maybe emotional intelligence might be a big future path for you? Tell me a little bit about that.
You know, through that recovery, I came out really focused on creating whole people, so addressing all four elements, the physical, mental, emotional, and the spiritual or the passion, the purpose side of it. And we kind of started down that path, and then we took on this tool that was it was a card game that helped develop emotional intelligence. We saw that as being a piece of the whole program until we got into it and trained within it and realized that emotions drive absolutely every aspect of our lives. You can't stick to a proper diet. At least I can't stick to an eating program or a fitness program if I've got emotional stuff in the way. Because as soon as I get something triggered, I'm back eating the wrong foods, or I, you know, bail out on my exercise. My finances will be blocked because of some emotional block. Every aspect of life is driven by the emotional side of it. So although we do intend to keep developing out the other aspects, they'll all be kind of built on a foundation of emotional intelligence, emotional awareness, emotional resilience, and regulation, all very critical to every element, whether that's building teams, parenting children, you know, your own success in life. Emotions play such a big part.
It does. And I know that, you know, when I've worked in the past with my clients using the EQI, the Workplace Report, or the Leadership Report, which is, for those listeners who are not familiar with emotional intelligence or the EQI, it's a tool that explores 15 different competencies in five main scales. And it looks at how we communicate with others. And it looks at some really interesting dynamics. So self-perception, which is all about your emotional and social functioning. Self-expression, which is all about your well-being and performance. Your interpersonal skills, which is empathy and social responsibility, which is, again, connected to well-being. Decision-making, which is all about your impulse control levels, your problem-solving, and also the other one is stress management. I do a lot of work around helping my clients see that they have choice so that their flexibility can increase, which helps with their stress tolerance and also gives them optimism as well. So the EQI 2.0 model of emotional intelligence measures these on a self-based, self-assessment approach. So it's interesting when I work with leaders. I mean, typically they'll say, oh, well, let's do a 360 assessment. And I very rarely jump into that right away because I want to see themselves and their own assessment of their skills and competencies in the emotional area first. So I usually do a solo report, a leadership report, and then about 6 months later, after we've done some coaching around the things that they didn't like that they saw about themselves in the report, and then move into doing a 360 where we start engaging other people and helping them to see how they show up at work and how they are perceived as a leader after we've taken the edges off. So it's a very interesting topic, and it was nice when I took my game trainer certification back in the fall last year to learn a little bit more about the EQU and the science.
Sorry. Just to correct you on the name, Yvonne, it's UEQ.
UEQ, there we go. So tell me a little bit more about the game and how it does connect to not burning out, which is something you mentioned.
Yes. Well, you know, we have multiple games, multiple levels of multiple games, and they start from a very foundational level to build all aspects of emotional intelligence. One of the critical aspects that applies to burnout is your intrinsic motivators. Just identifying what is it that really drives you from within, that feeds you energy instead of draining energy from you. And if you can tap into those intrinsic motivators, you can do almost anything and be generating energy along the way. But you really have to identify what is it that calls to you and what is it that really feeds you from within, rather than the carrot and stick type motivators that we're used to in the past.
Yes. And it's so interesting. I find that when I was working to do the research for my book, I realized that the words that we use are really a reflection of how confident we are inside. And, you know, sometimes when a woman will insert just into a sentence, you know, I just wanted to X, Y, Z, which, of course, completely dilutes the power of the sentence, and it almost sounds then like it's begging, which is not unconfident. It was interesting to see how these things all connect. And when we are really clear on our purpose and we have those intrinsic motivators really clear, it makes such a big difference. So I'm just going to run a short clip about the book for those of you who haven't come across it yet. It launched on November 1st, and in the morning of November 2nd, I was excited to see on Amazon that it had hit bestseller status in two categories. So it is already a bestseller, and let's just run this short clip about it.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, the Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and already changed history. On October 5th, the New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom, the Modern Art of Confident Conversations, is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
So powerful communications is such a gift and such a fabulous way for women to advance in their career. And being really clear on how you're showing up, what your emotional intelligence levels are, can really supplement that. So Brenda, you were talking about a couple of things that you've been developing. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, what are you using the UEQ platform for, and how can it help business leaders, teams in business, parents? Like, how can it help them to have more powerful communication?
Great question, Yvonne. What we've learned in the past is the power of both understanding how our brain works and understanding gamification, the science of gamification. And we've integrated both of those into simple card games so that people can, it's a really fun, fast, and effective way to develop emotional intelligence. It can happen in a matter of minutes. People start to see their conversations change when they understand how the brain actually processes thoughts and feelings differently. Now, we've never been trained this way. None of us that are sitting in the C-suite, most of us are using our brains wrong, creating a lot of stress and overwhelm and confusion neurologically in our brains because we were never taught how to actually have emotionally intelligent conversations. So we go into corporations and we run workshops and we play games. So all we do is play games. We play card games. We explain a bit about the science and what's going on and why the card games are having the impact that they're having. And people have a blast. And they walk out after playing the games for 15, 20 minutes. They walk out with looking at life very differently, having very different conversations. In those workshops, every single time without fail, we had people say, how do I get this to my kids? We need to get this into the schools. How do we get this to kids? They need to learn this at a younger age than we're learning it. And that triggered kind of an offshoot for us to do an online program for parents to bring all of these skills into kids as young as 5 years old. Mm. And kids are so, like, their brains are so malleable that they can pick up these skills so quick and they have so much fun doing it. And it's just wonderful to watch that. So we've seen businesses change. We've seen businesses who, just by following, like, we got multiple levels of our game. So we start with the fundamentals and then work our way up right into how do you deal with very difficult conversations, with conflict, with giving and receiving feedback, both advancing and contracting levels, pleasant and unpleasant feedback. And there's a very powerful way that you can do it that actually empowers relationships rather than breaking them down.
Mm. Well, it's really intriguing because when I took my game trainer certification, I was really intrigued by the UEQ platform, understanding more about the seeking system of the brain and, helping people adapting to different work environments, getting unstuck. And then you also shared a lovely story of a culture shift that you were able to initiate through one of the workshops that you did in, I think it was China. I'm not sure if you're...
It was in China. And I won't give the company name, but most people recognize it. It's one of the really big companies in China that we were over. We were doing a demo to their top 24 of their top HR and OD executives. And we got to one of our mechanics that we teach in the very first level of the game. It's a very foundational skill. And that is just simply asking permission to share before you go on. For example, so many people just come barreling into their boss's office or their employee's office and just start talking without finding out if that person actually has time to listen, whether they're tied up with something else. So it's simply about saying, we use feel and think, so I feel really excited right now. Can I tell you what that's about? And waiting for permission to share. So it's a very simple skill. When we introduced that in China, we had somebody pipe up and said, we don't do that in China. It's not culturally acceptable. And somebody else said, well, maybe we should. And they started kind of a heated argument around that. And we just stopped them and said, let's just play the game. And so we just played the game for maybe 5 minutes with them. And at the end of it, we asked what they'd experienced. And the comment that came out was so profound that somebody said, this humanized me. And then somebody else said, yes, it made me feel like I mattered. And then they started a really productive conversation amongst the 24 of them that ended with them saying, you know, this one mechanic has changed the culture in this room. And if we introduce it to our employee population, we could shift the culture of our company. And that was just on one simple little bite-sized piece, one little mechanic of emotional intelligence.
And of course, it's so important, no matter what the size of the organization, for each individual employee to feel that they matter. I know when I took also some training with Daniel Pink and his Drive program, that, you know, there are three main things in his book, you know, Surprising Truth About What Really Motivates Us. And, you know, one of those things is feeling purposeful. So, you know, autonomy, mastery, and purpose are the three main things. So, yes, the employees to be highly engaged in their work and also knowing that they can run for quite a long way without having to check in with their supervisor, so they can be responsible and accountable. That's the autonomy piece. They want to be an expert. They want to be the go-to man or woman. But in their field, that's the mastery piece. And then also the last piece is autonomy, mastery, and purpose, which is really about that intrinsic motivation. I know exactly what I'm doing and how it contributes to the health and satisfaction and happiness of my clients, and that I'm making an impact. And that was huge. So I also talk quite a bit about that in my book. I'm just going to run the second clip that that also talks a little bit more about words, women, and wisdom, because so much of the engagement at work is about effective communications between our team members and also from our leaders as well. Here's the little clip.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in four different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us, and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing.
It's an interesting topic when we're working in, whether it's leadership development, employee development, training, education. Obviously, awareness is the first point of change, and just by introducing some new concepts, as you've already seen, one person in a room is like a ripple. You know, one person makes an observation. Well, maybe we should be expanding on this topic. Maybe we should change one thing in our culture, and what a massive impact that's going to have or has already had. And there's probably other stories that you have as well, I imagine, from
Well, I mean, we've seen the impact that just having emotionally intelligent conversations, just a very simple framework, can have on sales. One of our clients took their goal was to increase their closure rate on sales, and they worked with us. We went in and did a few workshops over a couple of months and worked with their people, and they closed more sales in the second month than they had closed the entire previous year, just by learning how to have emotionally intelligent conversations. It was very powerful.
Wow. Well, that's something that I talk about in my book, using the concept of appreciative inquiry, which of course is David Cooper Ryder's original research work, and just tapping into a couple of the questions that really make a difference to building a relationship, not just making a sale, with a potential customer. And I think you and I had this conversation when we had lunch a little while ago. But if not, just to, you know, for the audience members' benefit, using appreciative inquiry in a sales context is really valuable. A lot of sales, antiquated sales techniques are basically about, you know, finding a pain point and asking the client what their biggest challenge is and then drilling down and until you've really found something to sort of nail them to the wall. Well, you know, my business is all about flourishing and the energy of positivity. So what I do instead of that is I start with, instead of, you know, what's your biggest challenge, I start with what's working really well in your business. And then once the person has shared with a positive, enthusiastic attitude, because, oh, someone's actually interested in hearing about what they're proud about their business. And then the second piece is, and how could it be even better? And by doing that, we have a lovely collaborative conversation where I can say, you know what, if these are what your goals are and what you're working towards, you know, would it make sense to share a little bit more about what I could bring to the table to help you get there faster, smoother, more effectively? And together we co-create a solution. And it's much more effective for the long-term relationship building. And there's nothing for them to object to at the end of the conversation, because we're talking about co-creating a future state. It's a magical concept. So how does the concept work for the increase in sales that you saw with UEQ? How did that work?
It worked very effectively, and it encompasses a number of different levels of our workshop that work together. So our workshops we offered just right from foundational levels, and they build on each other. So in the first workshop, you learn four mechanics of emotionally intelligent conversations. What, you know, just four simple mechanics, the ask permission being one of them. And then we learn the number one mistake that people make in 90% of conversations. People use this, make the same mistake, and it damages relationships. But salespeople make that mistake over and over and over again. Untrained salespeople, not all salespeople, but the untrained ones will make that conversation mistake. They fall into that trap almost with every conversation they have, and it will often cost them the sales. So we train them how, you know, about what that trap is, how to avoid it, what do you do instead. And a lot of it is, like you had mentioned, Yvonne, is the appreciative inquiry. It's just wrapping all of these skills in together and putting them within a structured framework that takes people through four different stages of the conversation, whether it's a sales conversation or any conversation, they're all the same. But when our sales team we were working with used this structure, they turned their sales right around in their company.
Mm. Well, it is always about asking permission, isn't it? Even when it's a simple phone call to initiate a conversation with a client, you know, to find out, you know, now a good time to connect for a few minutes. I mean, it's respectful. And if the person is right in the middle of something critical, right before they picked up the phone and, you know, want to speak to you, you're probably going to have a very different conversation that's either rushed or stressed or their focus is elsewhere, rather than actually them saying, no, now's not a good time. You know, I just had to fire someone. And, you know, let's rebook a time when it's convenient for both of us and we can actually give full focus to the conversation. It's just, you know, it's much more respectful and a great way to start it. You know, if you push for a meeting, it just doesn't help.
Yeah, exactly. And there's other very simple. I mean, the ask permission is one really powerful one. The appreciative inquiry leads to another one of those mechanics. Just, you know, there's four of them that when you wrap them all together, and they're very easy when you understand the science behind them. They're not easy to do. It's very obvious when you understand the science behind them. But because our brains are trained to do it completely differently, and many of us have had decades of training to use our brains in an inappropriate way. It's like breaking any other habit. You have to practice and practice and practice. But this is where the games come in, because we just have people play games, and they go home and they play games with their wife and with their kids and with their friends, and they see these phenomenal breakthroughs happening in their lives, but all they've really done is had fun playing games.
Mm. Well, it's interesting. I was reminded about this concept when I did a workshop recently, and it was Your Joyful 2019 workshop, and I had a workbook that was the core fundamentals for the program based around one of my tools, a career visioning tool. It's a roadmap, actually. And what I realized was at the end that I really could have brought in a little bit more in the way of actual experiential games and learning. And that was only a 3-hour workshop, so kind of half a day, much like some of the UEQ programs as well. And yet, once women had some language to wrap around the things that they were excited about, they were proud about, that they wanted to have more of in 2019, it started to create a very powerful picture of what they could actually be moving towards. I'm just going to run this last clip about the book, and then we'll get back to hearing a little bit more about the UEQ expansion and global domination.
All right.
I'm passionate about women's equality. Why? I grew up in England in a house with a flow of negative comments from my father, which destroyed my mum's dignity until she became an empty shell of the vibrant woman she'd once been, belittled by constant criticism and questioning of her abilities. Through my own life journey and supporting hundreds of female clients, I've discovered critical words to ask to get what we really want collaboratively. I know there are critical links between our language, our behavior, our mindset, and our success in life. Words from a song can replay in our head for hours, and poetry can bring a lump in our throats. I've combined my insights with interviews from influential women, sharing their pearls of wisdom, supplemented with research and reference studies from established scholars. Women are rising up. It's time for women to be heard. Let's use more powerful, positive language and join the rising tide of change. This book is for you, a woman looking to the future, ready to embrace significant positive changes in your life by using more confident language. Eliminate those words that drain your power, add words that energize and invigorate, and shift from ordinary to extraordinary. Just one word can change your life. I believe every woman needs their own copy of this powerful book. It's time for action and time for change. Order and reserve your own copy of Words, Women, and Wisdom today.
Yes, it's just so important to have not just the intrinsic motivation for doing the right thing in business, but also having the language to communicate that and engage others and draw them into the vision for the organization. Super powerful. So tell me a little bit about the work that you've been doing with parents, because I think that's a really interesting twist.
Yeah. Because it is under, when we were doing our corporate workshops, it came up, like I say, every single time, and sometimes half the people would be in there saying, yeah, how do we do this? And we found that that parents can't come, they won't come to full-day workshop. They just can't fit it in. They can't come to even four-hour workshops. Often they can't even commit to showing up for an hour at a given time every week because their schedules change so dramatically from day to day. So what we've done is we've broken down what we would do in a four-hour workshop. We have broken down into eight half-hour pieces and given them just exercises and workbooks and just bite-sized pieces that we can, that will take them through the same kind of skills. That, this is just the foundational levels, but it's so impactful for raising kids and even empowering marriages and every relationship. It's the same stuff that we teach to C-level executives. We just break it down into our weekly programs are 15 minutes of information and 15 minutes of Q&A. And then they get workbook downloads and exercises that they can practice through that week. And then the next week they can either log on at the live time or they can watch a recorded version of that show up on the course platform.
Sounds really valuable and powerful. And again, I'm curious to hear, you know, when parents are coming to you, what are some of the typical things that they're sharing, which is triggering them to explore some new choices to help have more powerful communication? What are some of the issues they're helping to solve? Do you know?
It's the same that we see in every generation. In everyone in the world, the world is moving so fast, and it's moved beyond evolving in a linear fashion to evolving exponentially. The amount of information that is hitting parents and hitting kids is the same, and we're seeing unprecedented levels of stress, anxiety, and overwhelm in every age group, right down into elementary school. It just blows me away the amount of stress these kids are under, and they don't have the tools to deal with it properly. So by giving the parents the tools to be role models, so this is the reason that we're doing a parenting course rather than a course for kids. We actually toyed with different ideas. But what we realized is that the adults in a child's life are the role models. And children, when it comes to emotional intelligence for children, they say that it is caught, not taught. So they actually catch it from the adults in their environment. So if their parents are willing to have emotionally intelligent conversations with them, they learn how to have emotionally intelligent conversations. If their teachers are, if their caregivers are. So we train the adults within that community, at least in the first few levels of the course. We train the adults to be emotionally intelligent adults and show up as role models for kids to become emotionally intelligent kids. Down the road, we'll develop more games. We've got a board game under development that helps kids just put a lot of these concepts into action, connect with people globally, just really wanting to expand this around the world. Somebody told me once, if you change a generation, you'll change the world.
Wow. That's pretty powerful. You're doing amazing work. So you're based here in Canada. And where else are your games now being played? I think you have been developing a team of consultants. And I'm one of those team members because I really love this concept. Where else are you expanding to now?
You know, we were invited over to China to present at an international organizational development conference and got such rave reviews in China that I left my partner over in China, and he is just taking this across China right now. Almost every major corporation in China has been exposed to this, and it's a big translation project, both language and culturally, but they're in conversations, and we're starting to get it into a lot of companies throughout China. At that same conference, a professor from the university in India approached me and said, how do I become a channel partner? I want to take this across India. I want to take it into Malaysia. So we're still in conversations with him. The nice thing about India is there 90% of them speak English, so there isn't the translation issues that we had in China. It's moving all through the states. We have certain of our trainers and our channel partners that are looking to translate it into Spanish and move it down into South America. We've got one of our trainers that wants to take it over into Nigeria and another one into South Africa. One of our potential channel partners, I don't think he's signed up yet. One of our potential channel partners, he's a psychotherapist and he works at the global conflict level, and he was really keen on taking this into the work that he's doing in Syria and, again, in South Africa. So it's just, it's expanding so quickly that I'm having trouble keeping up with it. We have to expand. We have to expand trainers and trainers that train trainers, and it's, it's very exciting.
Mm. Well, I'm so glad that you were able to join me on this this call just to share a little bit more about what you've been up to, the power of emotional intelligence, especially when it's being brought into the workplace and into the lives of families in particular in a new and powerful and fun way. Because I think, you know, when you're talking about decks of cards, it's very different in how we learn than it is through, say, video games, right? Can you talk to that a little bit more about, you know, the science piece behind card games versus technology?
It's very interesting. The one thing that we know for sure is that emotional intelligence cannot be learned from a book or over a screen. It's got to be done in person. It's kind of the whole nature of emotional intelligence is being able to feel the other person's energy, see their you know, hear the intonation, see their facial expressions, is all part and parcel of being aware of what's going on in your environment. So that kind of takes it off of the video and into the tangible, tactile experience of the card games. But it's really interesting. I was talking to a professor at Waterloo University. They want to do a study on UEQ games. And we were talking about putting this into an app so that we can get it out to our online participants quicker. My partner in China said, no, like there's a real shift in people. It's really becoming quite dramatic that people are moving away from the video, the screens, and into more in-person tactile experiences. And so we're kind of caught in this, but it's so easy to get the cards out in an app to people, and there's certain applications for it. But I confirmed that with the prof out at Waterloo, and he said yes. And he said they don't really know why, but there is just a real uptake in people having these tactile in-person experiences and building relationships. It's just extremely powerful.
Mm. Well, at the end of the day, business is done based on relationships, and authentic relationships evolve through a great energetic connection. As you know, I'm also trained in Reiki, and also, strong eye contact, firm handshake, warm body language, but also when you are clearly communicating that this is a respectful communication. So, taking the time to stop and really deeply listen to what the other person is saying versus, while they're talking, thinking about, well, what's my next question going to be so I can, keep this sales conversation going.
Exactly.
It makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
It's and it's so powerful. It's so powerful to when you start to have real living conversations, the way relationships will build from that it's really brilliant to see. We see, the millennials, there's been such a challenge between the generations. It's the biggest generation gap that we've seen for ever. And a lot of it is that they just don't speak the same language. But we find that just through playing the card game, it becomes kind of a universal language. People have fun. They're laughing. Nobody's taking anybody too seriously. It's a psychologically safe environment for them. And they make great headway with it. So it's kind of connecting this leadership gap that's affecting so many organizations globally is actually being bridged through learning how to have emotionally intelligent conversations.
Mm. So true. So have you had a chance to go back now to some of your CFO, CPA connections, and share some of this research, share some of these findings, and talk about your transition from moving from the finance side into the more important relationship element of business Because I think you mentioned you were expanding and you're also out looking for venture funding right now, too.
Yes, we're looking for more. We don't need enough money to need to go venture funding, but we're looking more at the angel investor groups just to get enough money to really start to capitalize on a lot of these market opportunities that are sitting out there. I'm doing most of this myself because we're working on such a thin budget. And there's so many opportunities I could be out securing, the ones that I talked about through the States and South America and India and China, that I haven't had time to actually reapproach my CFO kind of groups with it to talk about the difference that this has made in my life. I would love to get this into professional development. I know that it counts for professional development credit for the CPAs and a lot of those professional organizations, because it is the number one skill that leaders are going to be looking for going into the future of work. So they're wanting everybody to start to understand and become more emotionally intelligent. Mm. So I look forward to the day when I have the time to do that.
Well, I'm sure if there's anyone listening there that is curious to learn more and talk about the whole investment piece, that we can provide your contact info as we conclude in, look at the time, in a couple of minutes.
Good.
I also know that you had something that you wanted to offer as a special offer to our listeners. So tell me a little bit about that and where people can find out more about the offer and about what you're doing.
We've got two online courses that teach the fundamentals of emotional intelligence and show people how to use the games. And they both come with a deck of cards. And I would just like to offer people 30% off either of those courses. The one is just a self-paced video course that just teaches the basics of how do you use the card game to help train your brain so that you use emotional intelligence as a habit. And that one is priced at $147 U.S. dollars. And so the 30% price brings it down to about $97. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is an 8-week online parenting course, and it's really for parents and other people. It's for anybody who's been a parent, who has a parent, who is a grandparent, who is a caregiver, a teacher. It's the same skills that we teach. It's just how do you apply them to children. The examples are for children. It's the same skills no matter how you apply them. So
great.
We're offering $150 off of that course, which is $497, and it brings it down to $347.
Wow.
And I've got a webpage, but because it's not quite finished off, because you just contacted me this morning, I've been scrambling. But can you get a link out to people? Can you put it down for them, or do you want me to read it out to them, or what's the best way for that?
Well, the link that I was looking at this morning was u-eq.com/podcast. So that's
right.
The one that we can list today.
That's got different offers on it. So the one that I would list, because I've already got this other one up, I just have to confirm a couple links. So I would put them to Words, Women, and Wisdom. Is that what it is? WWW Radio. So it is YOU-EQ/WWW Radio. And that should take you to the special offers for this unique audience.
Okay. So say it one more time again.
It's www.you-eq, so U-E-Q, /WWW Radio, all one word.
Lovely. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate your generosity in offering that, because I think that there are going to be quite a few people that are intrigued to learn a little bit more about it. Certainly, if you are listening in from a corporation where you have an HR department, as many of you know, I'm a a chartered HR professional, I'm happy to reach back out to you or to connect you with Brenda, or maybe both of us to come in and visit and you to help elevate the communication skills within your organization. Thank you, Brenda. It's been delightful to hear more about your organization. A couple of things as well. I mentioned in my last show that the Wisdom Circles program is going to be starting soon. Now, many of you also saw on Facebook that I've had some horrible email spamming and technical issues this last week. It's taken, it's still not resolved, but it's in process, and it has delayed the beginning of the Wisdom Circles. So just watch the webpage. I'll have another show in a couple of weeks on Tuesdays at noon Mountain Time. And I'll talk more about that. I'll give an update. The other thing that I've been asked about quite a bit recently that I'm evolving is if you go to my webpage, which is wordswomenandwisdom.com, that's a great place to, A, listen again to that video introduction about the book. There's a link to the Amazon page to pick up a copy of the book if you're outside of Calgary. But there's also a couple of free tools. So for women who are interested in being more confident at work, I'm offering a free copy of my ebook, and you can click there to sign up for that, and also a copy of my quiz, What's Your Confidence Level, which is a humorous way to determine where there might be some opportunities for you to elevate your confidence at work. So those are free gifts from me. I wanted to take the time to thank you for your listening today. Sometimes we have Q&A and listening callers coming in, sometimes not. We did have a switch of guests, so when Brenda was talking about the availability, I especially want to thank you this morning for jumping in and being a special guest at short notice. And I look forward to continuing to evolve our relationship as we dive into this really intriguing topic of emotional intelligence in a whole new way. So, Brenda, thank you for sharing, and I want to wish everybody a fabulous week. And feel free to reach out if you have questions about elevating your confidence in the workplace. Bye for now, everyone.